morning. Remain standing with me. Take your Bibles. Go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 2. We'll read verses 13 through verse number 18 responsively. I'll read verse number 13 and you'll join me on verse number 14 all the way through verse number 18. Hebrews chapter number 2 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 2. I begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says this, "And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to him to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we pause this week to remember all that you've done for us. Lord, we're thankful for the heritage as an American for our country. Lord, the biblical principles and godly foundation we were built. But Lord, thank you for salvation. Lord, and being a child of God. Lord, thank you for all that you've made available to us. I don't know another life that I'd rather live. Lord, knowing that I'm yours. Lord, being able to do a little bit for you. Lord, being with people that love you. Lord, that have a desire to see your will accomplished in their life. This morning, Lord, there's a truth that you have prepared for us from the Word of God. Lord, we'll ask that, Lord, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, you would fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. May our hearts be tender and our minds be focused on the Word of God. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Hebrews chapter 2, keep your Bibles open. We're going to refer to it here in a moment. And I didn't intend for today to have this kind of a theme, but I guess it kind of happened the way the Lord wants it. Amen. But I'm preaching a sermon called "He Conquered It, Quit Blaming Him for It." He conquered it, quit blaming him for it. I have spent a lot of time around death. Hardly a week passes. I'll promise you, I could count on those hands. I think I can count on that hand the number of weeks that have passed in the last 10 years where I've not gotten word of somebody dying. Virtually every week of my life, I get word of someone passing. I'll be honest with you, I get tired of it. Not because I'm tired of the pain, I know what people have to go through, and it hurts. I've come to see, though, that death is really a part of life here on earth. I'm really not cold. I'm not calloused. I just see the reality of it according to the Word of God. It's hard to believe that 11 months ago, I stood right here and preached my own mother's funeral. Her body lay right there. Say, "Preacher, how could you do that?" Because it's part of life. It really is. I've preached 3 of my grandparents' funerals. I've preached 2 of my wife's grandparents' funerals. I've preached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals in 32 years of the ministry and 41 years of preaching. I've preached funerals for newborn babies. I've preached funerals for folks over 100 years old. And everywhere in between. I've seen all kinds of reactions to death. I've seen the denial. I've seen someone who, many someones who get angry at everybody because of death. I see people get mad at God. I've seen people scream and in anger at just uncontrolled rage. I've watched others accept it, take it peacefully. None of these reactions, nothing that you can do will change the fact that death comes. Let me say that again. No matter how you react, no matter what your reaction is, it's not going to change the fact of what death really is. It's not going to. It doesn't matter if it's sudden death. It doesn't matter if it's been a long battle with a disease. Doesn't matter if it's been murder. Doesn't matter if it's been suicide. Doesn't matter if it was an accident or a car accident. It doesn't matter what the circumstance of the death is. It doesn't make it any easier. The cause of death doesn't take away the pain of death. The cause of death doesn't take the pain of death away. Let me read a verse to you in the book of Ezekiel. You need not turn there, but Ezekiel 28:15 says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Did you know that God made man to live forever? God made us to live forever. When we chose to sin, death came because of sin. Let me say something right here. Write it down. I used to say that God was the giver and taker of life. I was wrong. I knew you were going to write that one down, Scott. That's why I said, write it down. I used to tell people, God's the giver and taker of life. That's a wrong statement. God is the giver of life. Sin is the taker of life. God does not take anyone in death. God doesn't take anybody away. Now watch this. God made us to live forever. We chose to sin, and sin and the devil are the takers of life, not God. Now, listen to me very carefully. God made man with life that was supposed to be eternal. When we sin, we condemn ourselves to eternal death. God did not choose for you to die. You chose it when you sinned. Amen. By the way, we've all sinned. Yes, and because we're all sinners, we're all in a process called death. Right. By the way, what you call life, God calls death. Maybe your birthday was this week. Mrs. Sears is coming up, and my daughter-in-law's is coming up. My daughter Melinda just had one on Friday. We say, well, that's the measure of life. Did you know that our birthdays are actually a measure of death? Not until we reach eternity do we start living forever. So man chose the devil's way instead of God's way by sinning. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is not the taker of life. God is the giver of life. God created us to live and to live forever. By the way, listen to this statement. And some of you younger people, you've not experienced this yet, but you will. Watching someone die and struggle on this side of life is very difficult. Say, well, they just struggled so hard. No, their body was doing what God made it to do. They're not struggling for life. They're struggling for eternal life. God made it. It's amazing how far this old body can go down before it gives up. Why do people get upset with God when someone dies? God did everything possible to make sure we could live forever. He created us to live forever. Why is it his fault when somebody dies, in your opinion, prematurely? He makes salvation available. He sent Jesus Christ into this world to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to shed his blood for him to die, to suffer our hell for us, to resurrect as our high priest, put his blood on the mercy seat so that we could have eternal life. And yet you want to blame him for somebody dying? God did not choose for man to have sin. God did not even choose for man to die. That punishment was set for Satan because of sin, not because of man. But when we listened to Satan in the Garden of Eden, God's justice required the same punishment on man that there was on Lucifer. Everybody doing okay? That's called justice. That's called turn MSNBC off and not listen to them. A jury of 12 said not guilty on all four counts to Mr. Rittenhouse. Isn't it amazing? Someone who did not sit in the courtroom and hear all the facts knows that somebody's guilty or not. I thought in America it was innocent until proven guilty. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. God did everything he could to make sure we live forever. He even makes salvation available. By the way, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you die and go to hell. That's not God's fault. That's yours. Don't blame it on God. I'm going to say something here. God doesn't choose when your last breath is. God is the giver of life, not the taker of life. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Say, why is it appointed unto man once to die? Because we have all sinned. But God doesn't set an end date. I don't think when you were hatched or born or whatever process you went through. Maybe you were, some of you are old enough to be swinging from your tail from a tree, I guess. I don't know. But can I tell you something? When you were born, I don't believe that God stamped an end date on you and you spoil by. You passed it a long time ago, Steve. Long time ago. He'd been spoiled. Never mind. Can I tell you something? Sin and the devil are the takers of life. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 again. Look at verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is who? The devil. The power of death comes from the devil, not God. Everybody doing okay? So because your loved one passed away or someone you didn't think was fair for God to take them, God didn't, the devil did. Quit blaming God. Quit blaming God. It's totally unfair for you to blame God for death on him. How about we take God off trial? God is not the Grim Reaper. Old Smutty Face, that stinking old devil, he's the one that causes death. He's the one that brought death to man by sin, not God. How about we take God off trial, and how about we take God at his words and not what sinful man thinks? We have believed what man and religion has said long enough. How about we just take God at his word? I don't know about you. All men are liars. Let God be true and every man a liar, God said. And I happen to believe what God says over what man says any day. I don't care if he's got a $500,000 grapefruit on his head and wears his wife's dress, calls himself Al Papa. I don't care what he calls himself. He does not have the power of life. God does.
Amen.
And we have believed the lie long enough that God is the one. I believe that we can ask God to hasten death for someone. I believe we can ask God to speed it up a little bit if need be. I believe that he can kind of reach down and say, okay, you're struggling long enough. Let me help you now. But those are only at the very end stages. By the way, it doesn't always happen that way. So let me give you a few thoughts here today. Number one, sin causes death, not God. Let me say that again. What causes death? Sin causes death. Not who?
God.
Huh. Look at Genesis chapter 2. If I could read my own handwriting. You know when you... It's getting pretty bad when you can't even read your own writing. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse number 17. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, when God was telling man about how to live here on the earth, he instructs man and he said, look, everything that is here you can take part in, but watch verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest, what's it say? Thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Huh. Did God tell man to eat of it? By the way, it was not an apple. Just so you know. There's still an apple tree. God took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from off the face of the earth after man sinned. It's in heaven right now. It was not an apple. Huh. In the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. God said, look, you can do anything you want while you're here. You can eat of everything that there is. I'll teach you about everything. Just don't touch and eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can touch it, but don't eat the fruit thereof. Because in the day thou doest, thou shalt surely, what? Die. And from the moment man sinned, he started a process of death. Romans chapter 6. Turn to Romans chapter 6. We use these often in soul winning, but I think you'll find it very interesting. Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice what God said. He said the wages of sin is death, not God's will is death. He said because of sin, the paycheck on sin, the earnings of sin are what caused death, not God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Preached on that just a couple weeks ago. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from what? The law of sin and death. Now look at me. You don't get saved by keeping the law. So, well, I keep all the Ten Commandments. Did you know the Ten Commandments had nothing to do with going to heaven? It was civil law. It was their constitution. Oh, to God, we'd get back to ours. There's nothing in the Ten Commandments that could take anybody to heaven. Not a one. It was civil law. It was the law of the land. Then you had the Levitical laws, who were there for the priests and the religious purposes for pictures of things that were to be what Christ would do for us. And then you had moral laws. Those are laws of sanitation and morality and different things. And God says that keeping those laws don't get anybody to heaven. And God did not release us, listen to me, from all those things. He said But salvation makes us free from the law of sin and death. There is a law of sin and death. You say, what is that? Because you're a sinner, you're going to die. And when you get saved, you're released from that law of sin and death. Because of verse number one, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The moment you get saved, your sins are washed away. You've been made righteous in the sight of God. And everything that's been done, past, present, and future, is already forgiven. Well, preacher, you're just trying to cover up sin. I don't have to cover it up when it's under the blood.
Amen.
I didn't cover it. God did.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. The law of sin and death was written because of sin. In the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely what? That's the law. There was the law. It was the law of sin and death. Isaiah 14. If you want to turn there, you may. Isaiah chapter 14. This is God talking to Lucifer in heaven, the devil. And this is after Lucifer had sinned in heaven. Look at verse number 12. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. You're not there yet? Hurry up, come on. I knew where it was. Isaiah 14, look at verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Ooh. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of those prisoners? All the kings of the nations, and even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of the grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, and as a carcass trodden under feet. That's what God thinks of the stinking devil, amen? Wait a minute. All that was brought on us because of Satan, not God. I'm going to make a couple statements here. Listen to me very carefully here. We need to quit blaming God for the consequences of us being a sinner. Let me say that again. We need to quit blaming God for the consequences of us, me, you, being a sinner. Let me illustrate it for you. That would be like if your house caught on fire, and the fire department came and put the fire out, that you blame them for the fire. God didn't sin. He made a way for you not to burn in hell. And you want to blame him because your house was on fire? Quit blaming God for the consequences of your sin. Say, well, that little baby, it didn't sin. We are all conceived in sin. But that baby, until they reach a time where they understand right from wrong, if a child dies before they understand right from wrong, they go to heaven. Thank God, there's only one good thing about abortion is every one of those babies are in heaven. By the way, it's murder. And any doctor that performs it is a murderer. Say, preacher, tell me how you really feel. I will. But may I say something? It is Satan who has the power of death, not God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. We read it a little while ago. That had the power of death, that is, the devil. the power of death. So, first of all, sin causes death, not God. Now I'm about to shout. Number two, Jesus conquered death so that we could have eternal life. Amen. Jesus conquered death so that we could have eternal life. Did you know Muhammad didn't conquer death?
That's right.
Glory to God. Did you know that fat old Buddha didn't conquer death? Did you know that there's no false god that's ever been recorded that ever conquered death, but Jesus did?
Amen.
Up from the grave he arose. It's well recorded. It's well documented. It's not a fairy tale. Jesus conquered death for you and for me.
Amen.
Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Folks, I'm about to shout. As the old circuit riding preacher used to say, hold my mule while I shout. Amen. Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and what? Death. Did you know that when Jesus died, he went to the heart of the earth where hell is? At that time, Abraham's bosom was there also. On one side was Abraham's bosom, on the other side was hell. And Jesus went there and he snatched the keys of hell and death away from that stinking old devil. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. By the way, Jesus is still alive.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 27, look at verse number 50. look at verse 46. In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them stood there. When they heard that, they said, this man calleth for Elias. Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. When Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and that the earth did quake and the rocks did rent and the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Folks, do you realize what happened during those 4 days? When Jesus died, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Say why? Because Jesus established the church, not the temple. And that veil in the temple was that which separated the holy place from the holy of holies, where only the high priest could go. And God tore it from top to bottom. Watch this. You say, why? Because God gave us direct access through him because Jesus was our high priest. We no longer needed the temple. We no longer needed a high priest because Jesus was going to resurrect, put his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And God says, nah, 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 nah. But also the Bible says when he died, there was a great earthquake and the graves were opened. Now that would be a little spooky. If I drove by the cemetery down the street here where my mama's body's at and half the graves are kicked open, something's going to be a little bit odd. And then after the resurrection, the Bible says that many of the people that were in those graves that were open got up and walked into town, started talking to people. Now, folks, I'm just here to tell you, if my mama comes back and starts talking to me, I'm out of here. Mm-mm. I planted that box and I know where it's at. I'll do your funeral, but you get up or talk at your funeral and I'm out of here. Exit stage wherever I can punch through a wall fast. Amen. Not happening. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Notice it says the keys of the kingdom of heaven, not of hell. Who's holding the keys of hell? Jesus. He has the keys of death and hell. Now watch this. This is why the resurrection is so important. Because it proves Jesus is the only one, and he is the only true and righteous God. Jesus now holds the keys of death and hell. Can I tell you something? Just because you hold the keys doesn't mean that you use them. Brother Mike, I could at one time give you a key to a 66 Mercury Comet that I had. But if you had that key right now, it doesn't mean you have that car. Matter of fact, it's been in the junkyard heaven for a long time. Matter of fact, I'm not sure that one even went to heaven. Got it a little closer myself there. Can I tell you something? Just because you have a key doesn't mean that you're using it. How many of you have ever gone through your keys every few years and say, what's that key for? Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Good night. Can I tell you something? Those keys make it available for you to unlock a door. But you have to use the key to unlock it. Jesus made salvation available to you, but you have to apply it by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I went out and bought you a brand new car and handed you the key, but you never took that key. Nowadays you don't put it into the car, but you just take it with you. But if it's old like my truck, if I gave you that key, but if you never unlock the car and get in the car and use the key, what good is the key? Amen. So, well, I got a key, I've got a car available, but I'm just going to walk. For some of us, we thank you. But what good is it if you have the key and you have the access to it available, but you never use it? That's what salvation is. He gave us the keys of heaven through the word of God, and he made it available. All we have to do is insert key, and here we go. We must obey salvation to get it. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me read you a couple verses there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. I've got to hurry. Hang on here. 2 Peter 3, verse number 9. The Bible says this: the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you know even God wants Nancy Pelosi to get saved? He may be the only one. Did you know that God is not willing that any should perish? That means that person you dislike most in life, God's not willing that any should perish. I don't have time to turn to a lot of verses, but we quote John chapter 3, verse 16 quite often, but we forget the verses preceding and thereafter. John chapter 3, verse number 15 says this, as soon as I get there, hang on, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Guess what? Because we're sinners, we're already condemned. But those of us who believe on him believe that Jesus Christ did all that he did and he paid the price for us, and we put our faith and trust in him, not our good works. Guess what? We're not condemned anymore. We have eternal life. Say why? Because he holds the keys of death and hell. Now watch this. He conquered it. Jesus conquered death for you and me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Some of you ought to memorize this verse. Many ought to mark this verse. It will be a comfort to you one day. And I'm about to shout really loud here, so hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 26 says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Did you know that the last enemy that God will conquer throughout history and eternity is death?
Amen.
That's why in Revelation chapter 21, it talks about that there'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more tears, that he'll wipe them away from our eyes. There'll be no more death. Can I tell you something? One of these days, God's going to totally wipe away death because he holds the keys to it. He's got the ability to not just unlock it, but he can lock it up and put it away forever. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he's going to lock the bottomless pit with them. And it's done. So Jesus conquered death. And the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. I'm going to be pretty happy, Brother Greg, when I don't have to preach any more funerals. Brother Aaron, I'm going to be pretty happy when I don't have to take the phone call. Preacher, my loved one's about to die. Brother Harry, I'm going to be pretty happy when I don't get the phone call. It's cancer. I'll be honest with you. I get a little tired in my flesh. Well, let me get you to the good part. The fear of death brings bondage. May I help you? For the last 2 years, our world has been controlled by evil. They are trying to scare everybody for their health and their life. My Bible says in Hebrews, we were there when we started. We read verse 14 several times, but verse 15 says, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all in their lifetime subject to bondage." I'm going to make some bold statements here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7 says, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind."
Amen.
He was definitely not talking about the president. Did you know that if it's not of God, it doesn't have love, power, and a sound mind? If it's fearful, it's not from God, it's from somebody else. I wonder who. If it's not God who gives us a spirit of fear, then who is it? It's the devil. He will hold your desire to live over your head. Bible says in the book of Job, "Yea, skin for skin, yea, a man will give all that he hath for his life." Isn't it amazing what we will give up to feel comfortable thinking that we're going to live? Think of all the freedom America has lost to give it to a government, listen to me, who's promising you a shot that's going to make you well that hasn't done anything. I'm not complaining if you get the vaccine. I'm for your right to get it. I'm just not for the mandate to get it.
Amen.
That's un-American.
Yes, sir.
I was standing in line at Tampa Airport Friday afternoon. Guy said, me and this lady, she was older than I, she was saying, I hate these stupid masks. I said, I do too. And I pulled mine down over my under my chin. She said, I said, if enough of us do it, what are they going to say? Guy behind me said, good for you. Man, there was about 15 or 20 of us in line like this. Guy behind me, he said, I work in the medical industry. I said, oh, so you know these things are worthless too. He said, they're getting people sicker, not better. I said, yeah, you're right. Huh. Sin is what causes this fear. The natural, sinful, lost man only looks to seek to save his own skin. Man will do anything to try to make his body live. Can I tell you something? It's still going to die. It's still going to die. Yea, skin for skin, a man will give all that he hath for his life. Job 2:4. Huh. Isn't it amazing how much money we spend to try to keep this old carcass going? Think how much money you've invested in your waistline. Say, preacher, that's my retirement. Yeah, you ate it already, that's for sure. You know, I have eternity to live for. I'm practicing for eternity. I don't know how many years I've got. I'm going to enjoy each and every one of them I have. I'm going to enjoy each and every day I have. The devil will hold people's lives and health before them to make them afraid enough to do whatever it takes to stay alive here on earth. COVID fears. Again, I was at the airport and this lady standing in front of me, she's got her mask on, she's going, she said, I promise I don't have COVID. I said, wasn't it a blessing? There was a day when people could cough and you didn't think they were diseased. I said, don't you worry. I said, I'm immune to it. I had it a year ago. By the way, masks create fear. The word they used when they first came out was compliance. Go back and read Mein Kampf, written by Adolf Hitler. It was what he wrote while he was in jail before he took over the Third Reich and took over Germany. And when he wrote in there, he said, you need to control the food industry, you need to control the medical industry, and you need to control the transportation industry to take over a nation. You have to get people into a place where they will comply, was his exact wording. Isn't it amazing how all white people are bad? And I don't care what color you are. Just so you know. We've got white people. We got blue people because you're cold. We got green people because you're sick. We got brown. Good night, I'm colorblind. I don't give a flip. But isn't it amazing? By the way, let me tell you the real truth here about Mr. Rittenhouse, 18-year-old boy that just was found out guilty. Oh, he's a white supremacist. Do you know that all four people that he shot were white? All of them were criminals. Three of the four had guns and one had a knife. They had already beaten him over the head with a skateboard and they were coming after him with guns. But he's a white supremacist. Wait a minute. He was protecting his area from being burnt to the ground by a bunch of thugs and idiots. Evil takes over trying to control by your fear of death. Oh, you've got to do this or you're going to die. Oh, by the way, that's what they're programming our kids in schools for. You've got to listen to us. We'll keep you safe if you do what we say. Folks, if you're saved, the worst thing that can happen is for you to stay here and live. When we die, we got heaven to look forward to. If you've never been saved, this is as good as it gets, and I'm sorry for you. No wonder lost people spend so much time and money and effort to stay here on this earth, because the thought of dying and going to hell is enough to scare anybody. But to us who are saved, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hey, I'm just passing through. I don't know about you. I've been here 54 years and I'm enjoying the trip. But can I tell you something? I can't wait to get to home. Can't wait to get to my final destination. Psalm 118. I'm going to read a couple verses to you and just make a couple statements and be done. Psalm 118, verse number 6, I believe. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear for what man can do unto me. Guess what? We're not supposed to fear somebody giving you the bug. Good night, when I was a kid, we had chicken pox parties. Man, I remember when my cousins got chicken pox. We all had a party over at their house. A week later, I was scratching and itching like crazy. Y'all remember that? Say, why? Get it over with when you're young. And you go to jail these days now for that kind of stuff. Did you know we don't have anything to fear? Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Folks, we're too afraid of death. Death is part of life. Death does not come because, well, God said it was time for them to go. No, sin did. Sin caused it, not God. Quit blaming God. He conquered death. He has the victory over death. He has the victory over sin. Quit blaming God for the death of someone.
Amen.
There are people sitting in this room, you've never gotten over the death of someone. By the way, you'll never get through it all without, it's always going to hurt. Somebody tells you, well, you'll get over it. No, you don't. You get through it. You don't get over it. They're lying to you if you say you're going to get over it. There are people here today that have been bitter with God over the death of someone, though. And you need to realize you need to blame Satan, not God. How about you blame the real person? There are people here today that blame the doctor or medication for the death of somebody. No, sin and Satan are the one to blame. There are people in bondage of fear over your health today, but your fear is not because of what God is doing. Your fear is because of what Satan is inflicting upon you. God hath not given the spirit of fear, then the devil did. Recently, I got word of two missionaries in Haiti. They moved from one area to another due to the political unrest. They were trying to get their families out of Haiti to get to safety back to the States. There wasn't enough room on one of the small planes that was there, so they sent the wives and the children on one plane. The two missionary men stayed behind and took the second plane. The two ladies and their children landed in America. They waited, and they waited, and they waited. Finally, after several hours, the people at the airport came out to them and said, we're sorry to tell you, but the plane carrying your loved ones has crashed and everybody on board is killed. I don't know either family personally, but I hurt for those young widows. I hurt for those children that are without daddies. Can I tell you that I understand? No. But Brother John, don't find one verse in there where God says understand. He said, trust. I know this. God didn't take them. I know this. The devil's mad. Did you know the devil's mad at this church right now because of our future plans? He's already on the attack. Just so you know. Be careful what you read in social media. You don't need Facebook. You need to put your face in the book. It's amazing how strong people can be behind the screen. I'm big and bad. I can say whatever I want. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's true either. Why don't we quit blaming God for death? How about we take God off trial and start blaming the stinking devil for it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I long to help our church. I long to help people. I hurt when you hurt. I struggle when you struggle. I feel pain when you hurt. I don't enjoy the thought of death. But I got to be honest with you, it's not God's fault. Never has been, never will be. God didn't bring death. Satan did. Sin did. If you died today, do you know 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You say, preacher, I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I won't embarrass you. If you say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Somebody else? All right. You'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands. Thank you. Scores and scores of people. Maybe as the piano begins to play in a moment here, and we'll stand to our feet when it does, maybe you just need to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of that today. We have everything you need. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, we'd love to have you. You come as well. Maybe you just want to kneel at an old-fashioned altar and pray. Maybe you need to take God off trial and tell him you're sorry.